Hey, come on, we got a very special day for you today. Just in my time yesterday, it's very short notice, but in my time of just worship and prayer and just praying through some things yesterday, man, I was reminded of my Nana, my mom's mom, and the heritage that I have and the legacy that we have in my Nana. And I've asked my mom if she could just kind of join me on stage today. I'm not sure where she is, actually. There she is. Come on. Come right over here, Mom. Amen. Ethan's going to bring you right up on stage. Ethan. Amen. Come on. And I called her and said, hey, Mom. Like, I'm asking my mom if she would have something to say. Like, that's just like, if you know my mom, like, she always has great wisdom and something to say. So I said, hey, would you be able to just share a little bit on this special day? Mother's Day is truly a special day. And honoring moms and their sacrifice that moms make and who you are and who you make us as sons and daughters. And I called my mom and said, Mom, what do you think? Would you be able to just share some words? And we got you a water. You're good. You go ahead and have a seat, Mom. And just, you know, would you be able to just share a couple words from your perspective on Nana? And my kids call her old Nana, not their Nana, but old Nana, Grandma Nana, and would be my Nana, and just the heritage that my mom comes from, and the special piece that moms play, and honoring my mom today, and just who we are as Todd, as the eldest, and then I am the middle, and then my brother Brent is just right behind me, a year and a half behind me, the middle child. I don't know if you have any middle children out there, right? We really are the best. The middle children do have everything going on. You know, the firstborn child's completely spoiled rotten. Todd's completely spoiled rotten. The baby got everything, but the middle child, we come out usually the best, you know? So in that, you know, honoring my wife today, who for her Mother's Day present, I sent her and our Olivia and then our Katie off to Fort Myers Beach for the week. So I'm like, woo, hey, wake up on Mother's Day and go play in the sand. Amazing. Like moms generally just like, I just want to do nothing on Mother's Day, like nothing, you know. So I sent her to the beach to do nothing. It's just incredible just to have some wonderful connection time with Olivia and Katie, who we love dearly. But just honoring Renee today and just truly, as we know as a church, what she brings to the table for Believer's Chapel, but what, amen, amen. And what she has brought to the table to Carter and Olivia and Ethan, such a great mom. And then, you know, honoring Renee's mother, Miss Mary Kay, very thankful for Renee's upbringing in a house that understood morals and truth in church. And Mary Kay is an amazing woman, and she just loves the Lord, and she brought up Renee in a house of great respect. So I am very grateful for Miss Mary Kay and the wonderful, beautiful woman that she is. I'm also thankful for Miss Sally Scott, who raised an amazing, amazing daughter for my son. We love that. Like, there's a lot to it, moms. There's a lot to what you're raising and your impartation and you building a legacy in your children that me as a father-in-law can be juiced about Sally Scott raising a tremendous daughter in Katie that is married to my son, and that means everything to us. You know, you're the responsibility of a mom, right? And it spreads, and there should be so many people that are thankful for the job of a mom and the sacrifice of a mom that the Obergefell family is beneficiary, right? So there's so much to being grateful and thankful to moms and your sacrifice. And Mother, these are yours. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. You can give me a hug. Love hugs. Come on, beautiful. Amen. Love you.
Love you.
Amen. 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 Thank you. I will take those. We'll just put them here for now. So you got some room. And again, this is very short notice, and I just really believe it's of the Lord. And I called her and she says, well, actually, I've had some things on my heart about my mother and I've been sharing them. I'm like, well, then perfect. This is 1 + 1 here. Let's get this going. And let's have a tremendous Mother's Day to honor the moms. And moms, we do have a carnation for you on the way out the door. And just to honor you as moms. But I just want to read just for a minute. And then, Mom, it's going to be your time. And you just take your time. And then I will close out. And we'll just kind of go from there, you know. And church, if you want, you can just turn with me to Proverbs 31, please. I just want to share this amazing picture of Proverbs 31, and we know that it's the Proverbs 31 wife, but wives, be fruitful and multiply, turn into moms, and there's four places in Proverbs 31 that says the priority of the wife is her household. That's the priority. And when you see the Proverbs 31 woman, her priority is her husband and her children. That's the priority. Four times it says, and her and her household, her and her household, her and her household, her and her household. So it's making a pretty strong point that the role of the mom is her household. And what a beautiful, amazing gift that God has given. And Proverbs 31 speaks to this, and it's verse 25. And I think that we can look at this, and we can have an understanding of a woman that is full of strength and dignity. And this is God's design plan. And if you have a mom that is full of strength and dignity, and she smiles at her future, like there is this confidence within this mom to know I'm doing God's plan, I'm fulfilling my role and serving my household. And in that, there is this power and there's this authority and there's this might and there's this boldness and there's this fearlessness in this woman. And there is this dignity and there's this honor and there's this level of respect that is earned. This is what this means. And then that woman, she smiles at her future. Like she just looks ahead and there's a confidence to this woman. I love this. This is the picture that God has given us for the women that God has given for a husband and for women to become moms and to walk in this place to say strength and dignity are her clothing. This is who she is. This is what she wears. And she wears it so well that there's this confidence within her that she just smiles at her future. I love this. I love this. And I have truly been honored and privileged to be surrounded by these type of women and people in my life, family, are surrounded by these godly Proverbs 31, 25 women. And let me just pray, and then we'll get into this, and then my wonderful mother will speak, and we'll just soak it in like a sponge. Come on, Father, I thank you for the day, and I do. I'm so grateful for the moms and their sacrifice. We all know it, God. We know the things that they have sacrificed. We only know in a little bit, and I think that there is so much more to their sacrifice that we as kids, sometimes we miss it, we overlook it, we just don't see it. And Lord, today is the day that we honor moms. And we know there's things that we will never know that they have done. We know that there are hours and hours on their knees begging you on our behalf that we've never seen or are privy to. But God, we know the sacrifice of a mom, and we know the mother's heart for their kids and the bond that they have with their children. And Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you that is from you. And we just honor the moms in this house today. Bless our time in your word. Bless the testimony that we would soak it in and learn. In Jesus' name, come on, amen. Look at this, Psalm 31, verse 25. It says this, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at her future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up. I love this. Rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Let me read this again. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands. Thank you, bro. And let her works praise her in the gates. So when you see there's the word praise here three different times, and this is the word halal, which means that this woman should be celebrated. It's the same word that we use for praising the Lord. This woman should be celebrated, and this woman should be in the spotlight, and she would be one that we brag about and one that we boast about. And it says it three times. So how much are we bragging on our moms, and how much are we boasting on our moms, and how much do we put the moms in the spotlight? Sure, they get a day. I think they get gypped, right? I think moms need to be honored and valued day after day, truly, especially when children are in the house, to honor your mom. And if we have time, we'll touch on that. But again, when it says strength and dignity are her clothing, like that, like this blows the idea that that women are weak. This blows the idea that women are second nature. This blows this masculine idea that women are below. Like that's not have anything to do with what God said. God said that we are male and female are made in his image of equal value and of equal worth. And this is this amazing, beautiful, powerful role of the woman, that you are strong and you are powerful. This is what strength means. That you are mighty, that you are bold, and that you are fearless. That's what this beautiful, amazing picture of this woman that is strong and she is powerful and she is bold. And she is fearless. And it gives this picture of one who has this great sense of dignity. That there is this role that this woman attains to that is full of respect. That there is this impressive character that is carried by this woman. This is this amazing picture of this woman wears dignity as her clothing. Like there's this impressive character to this woman that she is worthy of respect. And I love this beautiful, beautiful picture that screams that this woman carries the weight of honor with her. And that woman looks to her future and it just brings this smile to her face because this confidence comes. And we get this from just the simplicity of one verse that defines and describes an amazing woman, an excellent woman. Proverbs 31, verse 10, an excellent wife who can find. And then it goes into just defining this excellent woman. And we look at this, and it says this, and she opens her mouth in wisdom. And the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the word wisdom here is defined as the one who has the skill and the ability to go through and understand God's advice for daily living. Aren't moms just great at giving advice to everyday life? Like today's this day, and I think we need to do this, and I think we're over here, and I think this is happening over here. Like that is a woman who has this amazing gift of wisdom. And it means that I have this skill and I have this ability to know and understand and give God's advice, not my advice, but God's advice for everyday life, for everyday living. That's this woman, and there's that teaching of kindness, that goodness, that morals that are on her tongue, and this is what she speaks to her kids and her families. And she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. For her children, I love this, her children rise up and bless her. Her children should know the woman that she is. Her children should know and not, watch this, please hear me. If you don't take advantage of your moms. Don't take your moms for granted. Don't take advantage of your moms. Honor your moms. If we have time to get to Ephesians 6, we will. And it speaks about children honoring your mother. And that word honor, it means that sense of weight and value and that price. And here it says her children rise up, like there's this sense of to stand and to bless their mom. Like there's a certain age, I believe, for children that, yes, children, and rightfully so, are takers. Like kids, mom and dad are here to support. Mom and dad are here to provide. Mom and dad are here to give. And children take. But there's a switch that takes place in the adult years that children understand that. And I'm not saying take it in negative. I'm saying that's just the way it is, right? Children, like parents, are called to provide, and parents are called to give, and parents are called to bless, and parents are called to make that atmosphere of a home that fears the Lord. Like, that's what we are called to do, and we do that. But yet there's this time that when the kids understand that and they come to the adult years, they're like, now it's my time to understand all that was given to me, and I want to honor that. And maybe they didn't see it in the moment, but what it is to bless their mom. And the mom, you got the mic here in a minute. It says this, and her children also, her husband also praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is a liar. Deceitful means that charm will tease you for a moment, but it'll lie to you. And beauty is empty. But a woman who fears the Lord, that's the one who shall be celebrated. You know, and the Bible says this in Proverbs 10:7, that the memory of the righteous is blessed. And if you have that, you can put that up, right? The memory of the righteous is blessed. And there's the counter to that. But the name of the wicked will rot. And the word memory, it's the memorial. It's the remembrance. And I have a Nana who I speak often about my heritage and the legacy that God has given me and my Nana and my grandma and just the amazing woman that she was in the 20s that would just preach. And God has given her a beautiful gift of evangelism. And she was taken literally all over the states from Pittsburgh. She was a Steelers fan, by the way. True story. And you can ask her about it in heaven. It's amazing. She was raised in Pittsburgh. And so I get my good football loins from my Nana. It's amazing. You look at what God allowed her to do at 9 years old and what God allowed her to do at 13 years old to be on a train to go from Pittsburgh to Seattle to preach. And it was just amazing effect to my Nana. But there's no better witness than my mom, who lived under that house. And I just want honor my mom just to share for a bit and just share her mom and just what that looks like on this amazing Mother's Day. Mother dear, here we go.
Okay. Am I on?
You're on, girl. Put it close, though.
Oh, okay.
Put it close so they can hear you. Come on. Amen. Wow.
This is good. Well, first of all, I want to say that for me to be up here is an honor for me to be here with my son.
Amen.
Isn't this fun?
This is fun. This is fun, Mom. Come on.
This is fun. This is fun. Well, you know, in thinking about my mom, I want you to know,
when she starts whispering, just roll with it. Right?
Yeah, just roll with it. Just wait.
She's
for
like,
me.
Sean, what if I start crying, Mom? Everyone else will start crying. You'll be fine. So just just roll with it. Like, she starts whispering, it's amazing. And just let her whisper.
I don't
just act
start,
like you're knowing what she's saying. It'll be amazing,
right?
I don't
want
right?
to start whispering yet.
Okay, I know, but
I know.
I'm just trying to help you, Mom.
I know. It's good. I need your help. Okay. Yeah, that's great.
Thank you,
Gordon. That's great. Okay. I was thinking about words that describe my mother, words I would use to describe my mother. And I said, joyful, because she was so joyful, and she was so much fun to be around. She was full of life. I remember as a young girl, on Saturdays, we would go shopping. And it was it was really a great memory that I have of her, because I don't know if I enjoyed the shopping more or the ice cream sundae that followed. And we had a wonderful time. And she had such a beautiful way. You know, if we were to go into a store and the young gal that was serving us was having a hard day, and you could tell, Mother would turn that day around for her.
Amen.
Just like that. She would say to her, darling, Are you okay? Are you okay? And she would just bring a smile on that girl's face. And it was fun to watch the transformation take place. It was so much fun. So yes, she was joyful. She was fun to be with. She was full of life. And she was, I guess, the greatest thing that influenced my life and still does is that she was a woman of prayer. And she loved the Word of God. She loved Jesus. She was always ready. To tell people about Jesus, whether she was talking to 1,000 people or she was talking to one. I remember my sister was sharing this little story with me, and she had taken her to the dentist, and Margie kind of stood outside the dentist. The dentist's office there, where Mother was, in the chair, and she said, I don't know how that dentist could have ever worked on her teeth, because Mother was talking to him the whole time about the Lord. And that's the way Mother was. She was just so full of Jesus. And she always taught, you know, I was looking at the Word, and we were studying this in Our Lady's Bible study, and I was looking at the Word that says, this is in 1 Peter, and he's talking to the Christians, the Jewish Christians, and he says, do not fear their threats, and do not be frightened. She was never frightened, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. And she revered him as Lord. She was a servant of the Most High God. And she made us, not made us. Oh, okay.
I don't want them to miss an
image. Okay. And she, that was the way our home was. That's the way our home was. We revered him as Lord of our lives, as children, because that's what we were taught. And then it goes on here and it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And that also depicts my mother. She always was ready to give an answer for the Word that was in her heart toward them. And she always spoke with such love and respect. That was just my opening. Okay. I would like to start at the beginning of her life. As Sean said, she was brought up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And you know what? We had the most wonderful opportunity when Sean and Renee got married. Of course, they were married in Pittsburgh. And the day that you got married, we were able to go and visit the home. Mother was with us and her sister, Aunt Jackie, and we were able to go to her home and visit. You know, they didn't want to go inside. Of course, this was the home that they were brought up in as children. And we looked way up. They said they were talking about this house. They didn't want to go inside, but they were talking about this house, and they said, look way, way up on the third floor. It was a big home. I can't remember what street it was on, but it doesn't matter. And they said, that's where Grandma and Grandpa lived. Mm-hmm. Grandma and grandpa, which would be my great grandparents, mm-hmm. your great great grandparents, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Her grandparents lived up on the top floor, and they were Christian people. They loved Jesus. And I got to thinking about that, Sean, and when you think about the legacy that God has given us, mm-hmm. isn't that a beautiful thing? Amen. They were Christians way up there on that third floor. And her dad was the editor of the National Labor Tribune in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And very respected, a very respected man. He was very respected among the business people. He was very respected among the political people of that day. In fact, this particular evening I want to tell you about, he was, this would be my grandparents, her mother and father, were on their way to a very important dinner where the Rockefellers were going to be. So it was kind of an elitist thing that they were going to. And I believe, if I have this story correct, they were kind of hosting this dinner event. And her mother, before she left to go to this dinner, she went upstairs to my mother's room. And my mother was a baby in her crib at that time. And she leaned over and she picked her up out of the crib. And as she picked her up out of the crib and held her, my mother reached up and she pulled on her ear. And as she tugged on her mother's ear, the Spirit of God began to tug on her heart. And she became very convicted. You see, she was brought up in a home to where she learned about Jesus. And she had walked with Jesus for a time. But then she got away from the things of the Lord. And the Spirit of God just reminded her. And she went off to that dinner with her husband. And she sat there for a while and she said, "Joe, I've got to go home." And he said, "Well, you can't go home. This is a dinner that we have to stay and be a part of this dinner." And she said, "Oh, no." He said, "Well, okay, I'll take you home." And she said, "No, honey, you stay here because you need to be here. I'll grab a taxi and I'll go home." And she got home, went straight up to my mother's bedroom, and she fell on her knees. She asked God to make her the kind of mother that would honor him in raising this baby. Her heart was brought back, just like the prodigal son.
Amen. Come on.
Isn't that a beautiful thing? Her heart was brought back. And then, but her husband, a wonderful man that he was, but he wasn't a Christian. He didn't know Jesus. And my mother came to know Jesus when she was about 4 years old, 3 or 4 years old, very young. She gave her heart to Jesus. And you know, she was a little girl that was just so much wanted her daddy to know Jesus. And she would kneel at the couch and she would pray for her daddy to come to know Jesus. And he would walk in the room and he'd go into his wife and he'd say, "You tell her to stop praying for me." Oh, she would never stop praying. And you know, there was a revival meeting in that little place where they were. And my grandmother said to her husband, "Joe, won't you come? Won't you come to this revival meeting with us tonight? You know, we're all going." And so he did. He said, yeah, I'll go. And it was there at that revival meeting where the Lord got a hold of him and brought him and saved him 100% for Jesus. I don't know if that's even, is that right, 100%? Is that okay?
Anything you say is right, Mother. Okay. You're fine. You're rolling. Keep going. It's amazing.
And so he came to know Jesus. Now, I have to just say one other thing, because his sister, Aunt Mary, oh my goodness, Aunt Mary was a powerhouse for God. And she worked in the rescue mission down there in Pittsburgh. And my mother, even as a little girl, loved to preach. And so her daddy went to his sister and he said, you know, Mary Agnes loves to preach. Maybe she could come down to the rescue mission sometime and preach. And basically, that's how she got her start. Her Aunt Mary took her down to the rescue mission, and she began to preach to those drunken bums. Some of them were, you know. Some of them were. But I'll tell you what, they came to know Jesus. As my mother would share Jesus, many of them came to know Jesus. And that was her heart. And then her heart grew larger and larger, and God opened up such wonderful, wonderful opportunities for her. As Sean said, she would travel by train from one city to another city to another city with her father escorting her, or her mother escorting her. And she would travel all over the United States as a very young girl. In fact, Carrie, if you could put that picture up on the screen now. Okay, now that is a picture of her. This is a Boston newspaper.
Oh, that's good. That's perfect, too.
Yeah, that's good, too, honey. That is a picture of her at the age of 14. And it's just different positions, you know, when she's preaching the word. She was pretty lively about it. And so that is her. And then at the other picture, if you want to put that other one up too, that's just a picture of Boston. And
this New York Times.
Oh, is that one the New York Times?
Yeah.
Oh, the other one was the Boston then. Okay, this is the New York Times. And this is some of the very interesting people and events that took place. And they put her right in the middle of all those people, of interesting people, when she was 14. Isn't that kind of fun? I think that's wonderful. Okay, is he gonna cut me off?
Okay. It makes you sound more spiritual. You're fine, you just keep rolling. You're good, Mother. You just keep going, you'll be fine.
Okay. I just want to tell you this. I have a couple of stories that I'd like to share with you. And this is a story. When she was preaching right down here in Portville, she was preaching in Portville, the United Methodist Church in Portville. And there was a gentleman that came into our store, and he was an older gentleman. And he went to Lenny and he said, you know, Lenny, we have somebody in common. And, well, who was that? And he said, your mother-in-law. He said, you know, when I was a young teenage boy, I went to that Portville United Methodist Church when your mother-in-law preached there. And she was just a young woman when she was there. And he said, she preached the gospel that night. And when she called for salvation, she walked off the platform. She walked right to me and she said, don't you want to come and receive Jesus tonight? That was my mother.
Six pages to go. We're fine. We're good. Mom, can you speak for 5 minutes? This is amazing. I love it. No, I'm just kidding.
Have I got 5 minutes?
No. You go, Mom. You got all day. We're good. No one needs to eat today. We're fine. We're good.
You know, when I think of the impact on my life that she was on my life. One of the greatest things is her prayer life. Because I was the youngest of three. My brother was the oldest, and then my sister, and then myself. And my dad was in the school system. First of all, he started out as a chemistry teacher. He ended up vice president and vice principal, and then principal of the high school. So I tell you that because being the youngest, my dad would go off to school. And I've got to tell you this too, because this is really funny. You know, well, when I was a little bit older and my dad would go off to school, I went to that same school, you know what I mean? And I wanted him to look good. And I remember I said to him one day, "Dad, you can't wear that tie with that shirt. It looks awful." And mother came up beside and she said, "You leave your father alone. He looks great." And boy, I'll tell you what, that's another thing she taught me, Sean, how to love your husbands. Hey, that's another thing. Teach your children how to love their husbands or their wives. That was wonderful, and she did that so well. But now I want to go back because this is important. I want to tell you, my dad would go off to school. My brother and my sister would go off to school, and that would leave me and my mother home alone. And the very first thing we did every morning, we'd go up to her bedroom. She would kneel beside her bed, and I would lay across the bed, and I would listen to her pray. She would pray for me. I would listen to her pray for me. She would pray for my father. She would pray for my brother. She would pray for my sister. And then she would begin to recount all the wonderful scriptures in the Old Testament. I think about the different personalities, the Bible characters in the Old Testament. And I learned about them. I learned about them through listening to her pray and talk about Moses and how God was so faithful, how he was so faithful to Daniel, how he was so faithful in his call to Abraham. She would talk about the faithfulness of God, and she would turn it around into all of our lives, the personal faithfulness of God to us. Great impact on my life. I remember another time when we had guests in our home. My brother was training in Mexico to be a missionary under the Wycliffe Bible Translators. And he called us that evening as we had guests. And he called us and he said, "Please pray for me." He said, "I have just gotten a diagnosis that I have Hodgkin's disease. And I might have to come home." Well, I'll tell you, it didn't take us long. All of us, our guests included, went right out into the living room. We got on our knees, and we began to pray for Paul. And God wonderfully, wonderfully heard us. And he didn't have to come home. He didn't have to come home. I might need something on there, too. Wrote it last night, and then I rewrote it again today. Okay. Her example of handling hard situations was always with prayer. Always with prayer. I think about the time my brother went up to Syracuse University, and at this time in his life, he was walking far, far away from the Lord. He was kind of glad to get out of that house, I think. It was a wonderful home, but you know, when your heart is rebellious. He was hard against God, and he went up there to the campus of Syracuse University. And she would cry out to God for my brother. And she told us, "The Lord said to me," Now you stop talking to him about me and let me do the talking to him. And I think about those words and I think, what wisdom that is. If you've got sons or daughters and you know you've talked to them about God, they know every, you know, I used to think this way with the kids. By the time they're 7 years old, they know how you think on just about every subject. Is that not true? They pretty much know what you're going to say. So you know what? Surprise them. Why even say it? They know what you're going to say. And let God do his work. Let God do his work in their lives. You know, I'll never forget this day either. Oh, my, Sean. Look at what time it is.
Just looked at the clock. Way to go, Mom.
Okay, I'm going to try to close this out. You know what? I will close this out. I do want to tell you this one more story.
Listen, you're rolling to the end. I'm going to have the ladies stand. You're going to pray over them. But you just you still have a couple minutes. Come on. You're rolling with it.
Okay. I got to just tell you this story because this was so funny.
This is so good. Is this not amazing? Come on. Amen.
This was so funny.
So good.
So anyway, then Mother would love to come and visit us in our bookstore. She would love to come and spend some time with us. And of course, we loved it when she came. She would love to come and shop. She would love to come and talk to the people. She just loved to be there. Well, this one day a pastor came in the store and they went out in the back room with Lenny. She was back there with Lenny and he was back there sitting there talking. And Mother said to him, well, where did you go to school? And he mentioned some very liberal divinity school that he attended. And Mother said to him, because they didn't teach the word, the truth of the word, they didn't teach that. And Mother said to him, well, if I was God, that's the first place I'd drop the atomic bomb. That's really what she said. And Lenny just about dropped his, I don't know what. He just about died. But I want to tell you, that pastor said to Lenny, whenever your mother is in town, I want to meet with her. Isn't that wonderful? Because she had such a compelling love for God, and everybody loved to be close to her. You know, the last thing that I want to say is, I remember Lenny and I were able to attend probably one of the very last services that she ever preached. And at that time, she must have been in her late 70s. At that time, it was very hard for her to see. And my sister helped her, you know, just refreshing her mind in the things of the scriptures that she might want to teach that day. And I remember her taking the word of God and holding it to her heart, holding it tight to her heart. And she was saying, I can't see to read the word anymore. You could see how much she loved the word. But she said, you can. You can. It was such a challenge to my own heart. It was such a challenge to my own heart to love the Word of God, to love the Word of God. You know, there's one last thing that I would like to read. This was on the back of her memorial service. And I'll tell you, that was a day we will none of us forget, will we, Sean? That wonderful day of remembrance for her. And this was written by her oldest grandson. And this is a letter from heaven to us. And she says, hello, darlings. Jeez, I can do it. Okay. She said, she's says here. I know it's hard for me to read too. I just wanted to let you know how exciting it is, good, to finally be with Jesus. Wow. Words cannot express this place. I can breathe wonderfully. The air is clean and pure. The sun, which is really the radiance around Jesus' face, is so bright and beautiful. And the best part is this wonderful sense of complete peace and rest that you feel here. It's better than the best vacation Daddy and I ever took. And we saw a lot of that old world together. And the best part is that this is forever. No need to return to that old 9-to-5. You all know that I have challenged and encouraged you to live a life for God. Let me just say that I know for me, it has been well worth it. I love you all and can't wait to see you here one day. And I know that you won't disappoint me. That's my mom.
Come on, if we could. Amen. Are you going to pray? Come on, if we could just, if I could have all the moms just stand to your feet, please. That'd be amazing. And, you know, my mom is going to pray for you. And just to live and to leave a legacy where your kids are reminded again of your righteous living and who you are. Right? The memory of the righteous is blessed. I love that. Because when we go back to remember, what is our memory? And I do hope that you have a good memory. And if for whatever reason that it was a broken past, I do pray that today it changes for you.
Amen.
That which was left for me, I will not leave for my children. Like, there has to be some grace, and there has to be God saying, God, you can rearrange my family and my heritage. And maybe, please hear me, moms, maybe it does start with you. Maybe you are the first generation to come to know Jesus Christ, and that is huge, because there will be a day that it was my great-great-grandmother, and you might be one day that great-great-grandmother if the Lord tarries. You will be that grandmother. You will be that great grandmother. You might be that great great grandmother if the Lord tarries, that it was you and the generation that God moved in your heart, that you rearranged everything for the generations of your children past.
Right.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. That can start with you. How beautiful. And that you live to leave a legacy. The memory of the righteous is blessed. And today was beautiful. This is my heritage. This is why I am who I am. And I am so grateful to whom God has allowed me to be under. And my Nana, my great Nana, my mom, and just the amazing women that I explained in the beginning that are a part of my life. It's beautiful. But I want my mom to just pray over you. Emma's going to come sing. And I just want this to just kind of soak into your spirit. I think the big idea is just the power of a praying mom. The power of a praying mother. Don't be so busy. And don't let the complications of the world come in. That takes place of the power of your prayer life. Are you praying? Is that an everyday part of your day? Like a designated place to just pray? This is so important. Mom, if you would, if you would just pray over these moms, please.
Come. Amen. Yes, Father. We just come before you today. We just praise you because you are our God. And we just pray and thank you today for the wonderful Father that you are to us. We thank you, first of all, for Jesus and for sending him to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you for that, and I pray for each and every mother out here in this congregation today that you will touch her heart in a new and a fresh way, a new and a fresh way to love you with all of her heart, with all of her strength, and with all of her mind. Father, we pray for the example that is in these precious, precious women today, that their children will look up to them and call her blessed, because she is a blessed woman of God. Oh, Father, I think of this verse. I just want to read this verse. It's in Psalm 128, 1 and 2, and it said, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. Lord, help us to walk in your ways. Help us to fear you with a love type of fear. I love you so much. I want to please you with all of my heart, Lord." And then it says, "You will eat the fruit of your labor." Oh, how beautiful that is. Ladies, you will eat the fruit of your labor as you do it as unto the Lord. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for everyone that heard. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Can we say thank you, please? Amen.